This morning's Old Testament lesson comes to us from Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. This is the word of the Lord. Our New Testament lesson is from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friend, nothing to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, friends, when I got dressed this morning, I went to my tie rack, and I picked out this particular tie for today. You see, quite a while ago, I heard that red was the color of a power tie. This is a power tie. Now, this may go back to the 90s, but I don't know. I just have a great idea that red is a powerful color. So I'm wearing a power tie today. How do I look? Think I have any power because of this tie? Well, friends, we're going to be talking about power. We're going to be talking about strength. For the next 3 weeks, especially, as we're going to think about unlimited strength that we can have from God. And a part of that strength is power. Power is the ability to make things change. And so we're going to think about how God wants us to have God's power so that we can be people who make things change for God. We're very interested in natural power. In fact, the main symbol of the world's natural power is the sun. Take a look at this video, and you will see that the sun, in a close-up view, is filled with power. The power of the sun is incredible. It's 10,000 degrees on the surface. It's 27 million degrees on the inside. Do you know that the sun is so big that 1 million Earths could fit into the sun? The sun is a great ball of gas and plasma, giving life and light and heat to this earth, and without it, we would die. We're very interested in natural power, solar power in that case. Other people are very interested in social power. Some people like to be affiliated with people who have power. They like to hang out with and be near people who have power. Some people will pay a lot of money and make a lot of sacrifices just to get close to people who have social power. Other folks like symbols of power. Symbols like uniforms, or guns, or money, or titles. Other people aspire to have power. They do a lot of things to gain status, to gain influence, to gain control, to gain authority. Many other people like the idea that the United States is the most powerful nation on the earth. Yes, things of power are very fascinating to us in a social sense. And this goes back to the Bible as well. You remember the story of James and John's mother? James and John, disciples of Jesus, had a mom who was kind of a pushy mother, and she went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, please grant that in your kingdom, my sons will sit at your right hand and your left." What was she looking for? She was looking for them to have power. And right now, yes, right now, friends, there are power struggles going on in many places, in organizations, in families, in marriages, even in churches. Yes, power is an important thing in a lot of our social life. But you know something? None of it has anything to do with the kind of spiritual power that God wants you and me to have. Nothing to do with any of that. The social power, the natural power. So, tell you what. Let's just put all that aside right now. Just forget about all the kinds of power that you're used to thinking about. Let's just think about the spiritual power that God wants you and me to have. Our teacher today, once again, is Paul. And again, we visit his letter to the church in Rome. Paul is counseling new and young Christians on what it looks like to be Christians who are so connected to God that they understand how to live with each other in the spirit and style of Jesus. And he gives us three incredible sources of spiritual power to reflect on. The first is generosity. Generosity. Paul says to them, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Not just anyone. If your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat or to drink. That takes a generous spirit. Paul, of course, is remembering Jesus, whose life on this earth was nothing except generosity. Giving, giving, giving to all whoever asked, whoever needed at any time. Generosity starts in the soul. It starts with a generous spirit, a concern for others. And of course, that's what Jesus asks us to have. And that generosity of spirit then spills over into generous deeds. And so acts of kindness and love, of giving, of time, of talent, of treasure, of service, those kinds of generous giving acts are spiritually powerful. Oh, yes, they are. I remember one moment on a mission trip many years ago. We were in the Dominican Republic with a bunch of our youth. As we were walking through a very, very poor village, we came across an old rusty basketball hoop. A bunch of boys were playing basketball, and as we entered this part of the village, some of our youth started playing basketball with them. And it was a lovely sight. Now, most of the boys playing basketball had no shoes. A couple had a pair of flip-flops, and maybe one had an old pair of sneakers. Our kids, of course, had their sneakers on and had a great game of basketball for about 20 minutes, and then it was time to leave. And then I watched as one of our young souls bent over, took off their new $75 sneakers, and handed them to one of the Dominican boys. An act of spontaneous generosity filled with spiritual power. For me, I have a man in my life who is a mentor in generosity. Pastor Ronald in Haiti, a dear friend of this church and mine, has illustrated by his life what it means to be generous of spirit and soul and resource. He grew up in Haiti. His dad was the pastor of the same church where he's pastoring now. But as he grew, he had the opportunity to leave Haiti, to come to the United States, to live a life of comfort and ease relative to poor, underprivileged Haiti. But he did not do it. Pastor Ronald continued year after year to serve his people, to serve the Lord, and to proclaim the gospel message right in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, amidst crushing poverty, amidst political repression, amidst cholera, amidst earthquakes, amidst COVID now. He is so generous of spirit and life that he has spiritually influenced hundreds and hundreds of people. That's power. Yes, God wants us to have and to demonstrate spiritual power. And the first thing we do is to be generous in our giving. A second source of spiritual power that Paul tells the church comes from forgiveness. Forgiveness. He tells the Christians at Rome, don't repay evil for evil. Don't take revenge. When anyone persecutes you, bless them. And again, Paul is remembering Jesus, whose life of forgiveness went right to the cross, who taught us along the way to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and who from the cross would say, Father, forgive them, those who are killing me. They do not know what they are doing. Forgiveness is something most Christians know we're supposed to do. But forgiveness is also something many Christians say they can't do, at least in certain circumstances. Forgiveness is hard, no question about it. Forgiveness is giving up your opportunity to hurt someone who has hurt you. It's an act of giving up. But forgiveness is powerful. During World War II, a Dutch family, the Ten Boom family, were arrested by the Nazis and put in a concentration camp because as Christians, they were harboring and giving safety to Jewish people to keep them from being killed. Their daughter was Corrie. The whole family went into the concentration camp, but only Corrie survived. Her parents were killed by Nazi people. After the war, Corrie came back to her native Netherlands, and she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. It was about her experience of being in a concentration camp. It became a famous, almost world-renowned book. And Corrie started going around the world talking about her experience and talking about her book. One day, at one of the places she was giving a talk, after her speech, a man came up to her. He was an older man, and he was shaking. He proceeded to say to her, I am the guard in the prison camp where you and your family were brought. And then she remembered. She remembered his eyes. She remembered his cruelty. She remembered how he participated in taking her parents to the gas chambers. And she began to shake herself. Then he said, you have spoken tonight about how God can forgive us. And I am asking you, can you forgive me? Corrie writes, she took a deep breath. And then almost beyond her own consciousness, she heard herself say to this man, I forgive you in the name of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is spiritual power. Not easy, but that is what God calls us to do. Spiritual power through forgiveness. And then Paul, of course, tells us that one of the most spiritually powerful things we can do is to unconditionally love. He puts it this way. He says, be devoted to one another in love. Devoted. Surely he was also thinking of his recently written letter to the Corinthian church. The letter that talks about love. 1 Corinthians 13, you know it. Love is patient and kind. Love does not insist on its own way. Love has such incredibly important spiritual power. Dr. Carl Menninger was a psychiatrist in the middle of the last century. He became famous, and the Menninger Clinic is named after him. He wrote a number of books, including Whatever Became of Sin, and also Love Against Hate. Menninger said in that book, love cures people, both the ones that give it and the ones that receive it. That is the power of love. That is the spiritual power that you and I can have when we unconditionally love another person. Once a medical missionary went to India in the early part of the 20th century. Still in India, at that time, there were a number of leper colonies, places where people with the flesh-eating disease of leprosy were placed, were quarantined, kept away from everyone else, for no one knew about it and how to treat it. So such folks were put away. This medical missionary, John Shaw, went to become the one in charge of this colony of lepers. When he got there, as he was walking around on his very first day, his guide took him to three lepers who were sitting in the sun. There was a guard with a gun standing next to them, and they were shackled on wrists and ankles. He asked, "What about these? Why?" The guard said, "They are dangerous. They are criminals, not just lepers." John Shaw, now in charge, said, "Take the shackles off." The guard said, "No, they're dangerous. Take them off," he said. "They're suffering enough." And they were unmanacled for the first time in a long time. A few weeks later, John Shaw, his family now moved into this compound and living there, had to leave for a few days. And he began to think that there were three former manacled prisoners in the compound. Would his family be safe? His wife was not worried. She said, "God will watch over us." And so John Shaw left. His wife and children went to bed that first night. When they woke up in the morning, as she went to the front door, she heard a noise. And as she opened it, she was astonished to see three men sleeping on her doorstep. They stood up and one man spoke for the group. He said, "We knew that Dr. Shaw was going to be away. We slept here last night so no one would harm you." That is spiritual power through love. And that is the kind of power that God wants us to have. The person who unconditionally loves others in the name of Jesus Christ is one of the most powerful people in the world. And that's the kind of power that changes the world, which is what God wants. In 1980, Mount St. Helens in the state of Washington exploded. This volcano, as many of you will remember and many will read about, this volcano exploded and did more damage than any other natural event in recent world history. Such damage that 3.2 billion feet of lumber were destroyed, enough to build 220,000 homes. About 16 or 20 people were killed, and the mountain was decimated. It was an event of incredible natural power, and it got our attention. Now, friends, right now, another act of nature is displaying its power. The COVID virus is all around us. Do you know that 100 million virus particles can fit on the head of a pin? Nature has lots of power, and we're aware of that painfully right now. But all of the natural power in the world, all of the social power we seek to participate in, is of no import compared to the spiritual power that God wants you and me to have as people who live and give generously, who freely forgive others, and who unconditionally love all. That's the kind of power that can change the world, can change lives, can change your life. That's the kind of power that God wants us to have. Will you pray with me? Holy and merciful God, we are so humbled by the reality of your love for us in what you have given through Jesus. Forgive us for the many, many times we fail to be generous, to forgive, and to love. And renew within us this day, this moment, God, a conviction that we can indeed be better disciples of Jesus by forgiving, by giving, by loving. Lord, help us each this day to take one more step on this road to spiritual power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.